mystery in the matter, though as I said yesterday, some of the details are of interest. The only drawback is that there's no law, I fear, that can touch the scoundrel.
So, you know what has become of Hosmer Angel?
Yes.
Huh? Who is he? And what was the object of his deserting Miss Sutherland?
That will be the girl's stepfather. He was written to say he'd be here at 6. Mr. James Windybank?
Yes?
Sherlock Holmes, please come in.
Thank you.
My colleague, Dr. Watson.
Good evening. The man who had entered was a sturdy, middle-sized fellow, some 30 years of age, clean-shaven and sallow-skinned, with a bland, insinuating manner, and a pair of wonderfully sharp and penetrating grey eyes. He shot a questioning glance at each of us, placed his shiny top hat upon the sideboard, and sidled down into the nearest chair.
I'm afraid that I'm a little late, but I'm not quite my own master, you know.
I understand, just as I'm sure you appreciate the need to clear up this somewhat distressful affair.
I should be only too pleased to help in any way I can, but first I feel I should say that I'm sorry Miss Sutherland has troubled you about this little matter. I think it far better not to wash linen of this sort in public.
Oh? And where should it be washed, Mr. Windybank?
It was quite against my wishes that she came, you know. But she's a very excitable, impulsive girl, as you may have noticed. And she's not easily controlled when she's made her mind on a point. Of course, I did not mind you so much, as you are not connected with the official police. But it is not pleasant having a family misfortune like this noised abroad, and a useless expense, too, for how could you possibly find this Hosmer Angel?
On the contrary, I have every reason to believe that I will succeed in finding him.
But that is... delighted to hear it.
Mr. Windybank, I have here a typewritten letter from you, the one in which you made an appointment with me for 6 o'clock. You know, it is a curious thing that a typewriter has really quite as much individuality as a man's handwriting. Unless they are quite new, no two machines write exactly alike. Some letters get more worn than others, some wear only on one side. Now, I perceive in this note of yours, Mr. Windybank, that in every case there is some little slurring of the letter E and a slight defect in the tail of the R. There are 14 other characteristics, but those are the more obvious.
We do all our correspondence with this machine at the office. No doubt it is a little worn.
And I will show you now what is really a very interesting study. You know, Watson, I think I might even write a little monograph on the subject one of these days. The typewriter and its relation to crime.
Oh, yes. Splendid idea.
We shall see. Mr. Windybank, I have here 4 letters which purport to come from the missing man. They are all typewritten. In each case, not only are the E's slurred or the R's tailless, but you will observe, if you care to use my magnifying lens, that the 14 other characteristics to which I've alluded are there as well.
I cannot waste time over this sort of fantastic talk. If you can catch the man, catch him. And let me know when you've done it.
Certainly, I let you know now. I have caught him.
How dare you, sir? I demand that you unlock that door.
It won't do, really. It won't. There is no possible getting out of it, Windybank. It is quite too transparent. And it was a very bad compliment when you said it was impossible for me to solve so simple a question. That's right. Sit down and let us talk it over.
It's not actionable, you know.
I'm very much afraid that it is not. But between ourselves, Windybank, it was as cruel, selfish, and heartless a trick in a petty way as has ever come before me. Now, let me just run over the course of events, and you will contradict me if I go wrong.
Windybank sat huddled up in his chair, with his head sunk upon his breast, like one who is utterly crushed. For his part, Holmes stuck his feet up on the corner of the mantelpiece and, leaning back with his hands in his pockets, began talking, rather to himself, as it seemed, than to us.
The man married a woman very much older than himself for her money, and he enjoyed the use of the money of the daughter as long as she lived with them. It was a considerable sum for people in their position, and the loss of it would have made a serious difference, so it was worth an effort to preserve it. The daughter was of a good, amiable disposition, affectionate and warm-hearted in her ways, so that with her fair personal advantages and her little income, she would not be allowed to remain single long. Now, her marriage would mean, of course, the loss of 100 a year. So what does her stepfather do to prevent it? He takes the obvious course.